Get ready. You're tuned in to Tea Time Unfiltered with your girl, Lovely T, bringing you the hottest trending topics on social media. Stay connected. Instagram.com/LovelyT2002.
Hey, everyone. I hope you guys are doing good. Happy Friday, TGIF. I know it's been a long week. It's also Friday the 13th, but you know, we're going to, you know, not pay that too much attention. It's been a long week. It's been a lot of stuff going on with the coronavirus. I haven't been able to podcast because I've been doing live streams focusing on that. But once again, welcome to Tea Time Unfiltered with your girl, Lovely T. I'm glad you guys could join me today. And I hope, you know, this podcast ends up entertaining you and relaxing you on your car ride home, bus ride, you know, just wherever, okay? So anyways, I want to come on here and talk about the whole Corey Feldman situation. So as you guys all know, I was looking forward to being able to watch his long-awaited documentary. The documentary was called My Truth, and in this documentary, you had to pay $20 on his website to be able to see the stream. He also premiered it out in LA. He had a screening party. And so the day that it was supposed to drop, which was 4 days ago, people started texting me like, T, are you watching the documentary? I'm like, okay, well, the website has been up, but I'm not hearing anything play. We're hitting refresh. It's saying site unavailable. Honey, it was such a mess. And then come to find out, word on the streets is that basically somebody with money paid to have a DDoS attack on Corey Feldman's server. So for those of y'all who are not into IT, basically they had somebody hack the site and make it where it could not stream. People couldn't go on there. I mean, it was all types of error messages. It was a hot mess, honey, okay? So then what ended up happening is that basically the next day, I went on there to try and watch it again. Still couldn't get on. The site was up, but it wouldn't stream. I ended up finding somebody on YouTube who had streamed the entire thing. But the only thing is when you watched it, it was like kind of slow. It kind of lagged. So I mainly paid attention to the audio, but I did watch the whole hour, but I more or less listened to it because to watch it was so annoying because like the voice didn't match the people talking and, you know, it was just a hard watch. But, you know, I'm still grateful that somebody did upload it onto YouTube. So nonetheless, basically it boils down to this. When he did the documentary, he basically didn't reveal anything new that I and many other people who have followed the two Coreys and this whole situation didn't already know. Okay, so this is what I posted on Instagram the day after the documentary came out. I stated this. Corey Feldman alleges that Charlie Sheen abused Corey Haimes in his Truth documentary. He alleges that it was on the set of Lucas back in 1985 when Haim would have been 13 and Sheen would have been 19. Sheen is at the top of the list in those being named in the documentary, but there were others accused by Feldman in the movie. Others supported the story, saying that Haimes had told them all individually that Sheen raped them. Susan Sprague, Feldman's ex-wife, who starred in the two Coreys on their A&E sitcom / reality television series, says the same thing about the alleged abuse that Sheen took out on Corey. Others named in Feldman's documentary are people he has accused of sexually molesting him before, including John Grisham, an actor who appeared alongside the two Coreys in License to Drive and Dream a Little Dream. Feldman also once again accused nightclub owner Alfie Hoffman of sexual abuse, as well as his former talent manager, Marty Weiss, who was responsible for casting children in quite a few Paramount TV sitcoms in the late 70s and early 80s. Feldman also claims that Dominic Brasca had sexually abused Corey as well. So then basically I go on to say this. Long story short, he basically revealed what many of us tea sippers already knew. Also, many in the Truth community have already called this out over the past few years. I still remember Corey liking tweets that called out these people. And then I went on to say, by the way, Alfie Hoffman was a frontman for a lot of deviant stuff. Back in the 80s, his teen club, the Soda Pop Club, had already been exposed by the Truth community before YouTube shut them down and deleted the videos. Basically, had you done any research on the two Coreys, none of these names are shocking. I basically wasted $20 and I still haven't seen the movie. Any thoughts? So then at that point, we had a really good discussion on Instagram. So to this day, legend has it, anybody who paid $20 has still not had access to the movie, okay? So I don't know. Some people are giving Corey the side eye. Some people are like, you know, was this just a scam to get money? You know, nothing is still working on the site. So whatever, he got my $20. It is what it is. I was able to still kind of hear the documentary. So now what's going on is this, okay? Basically, the women of the talk are saying that Corey Feldman had no business, you know, naming the people that he named, especially Charlie Sheen. One of the women, who is Marie Osmond, she goes on to say that for her, it took her 30 years to talk about her abuse, and she didn't want to name names because she didn't want to name names because her abusers died, and she didn't want to, you know, basically shame their family and everything else. So they go on to have this discussion, and they're basically shaming Corey for telling his truth and Corey Haim's truth. So I want you guys to go ahead and listen to this really quick. And the other person who's talking on the show is guest co-host Rumor Willis, who is Bruce Willis and Demi Moore's daughter. So she's also going to chime in as well. And then also Cheryl Underwood, who is one of the regular hosts on the talk, she also chimes in as well. So I want you guys to go ahead and check this out, and I'll come back with the rest of the podcast.
Well, for me, talking about my abuse finally after 30 years, I didn't feel the need to name them because they had died. And they couldn't hurt anyone, and I didn't feel the necessity to hurt the families. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
I think the sad part about all this is that in Corey Haim's case, he's not here. Yeah. And when you start passing around secondhand information, that's not your story. Mm-hmm. I think the only person that has a right to tell your story is you.
Agreed.
And that's kind of what I feel. Yeah.
I really agree with you. I think, first of all, as just a blanket statement, it's not okay to out somebody for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. And that's not your story. You know what I mean? If Corey Haim had decided to speak up, whether this is true or not, mm-hmm. then that's his choice. But I think unless it's a child and you see something happening to a child, to protect them, if it's not your story, it's just kind of gross to be using it in any way and to not allow someone to decide for themselves.
Yeah. Yeah. And
that's
even,
what they want to share.
And even a child, you don't want to out a child's story because the child can be very sensitive about it too until they're in a place to be able to talk about it.
Right.
It's a process, that whole process of healing, coming to terms with it, if you want to accuse somebody, if you don't want to accuse somebody. It's a lot of things. What do you think, Cheryl?
I just think for someone that it happened to me, the only reason I don't name names is because I don't want those who love me to avenge something on my behalf.
All right, so you guys just heard that. And so that kind of disturbed me when I hear these women sitting around and basically trying to shame Corey from not only telling his truth, but also Corey Haim's truth, okay? First and foremost, let's not forget that Corey Haim died back in 2010. So he's not here to tell his story. But what we do know is that Corey Feldman and Corey Haim have been best friends since they were like teenagers. And Corey is saying that they made a pact, and that basically Corey Haim told him that when he felt the time was right, he wanted Corey Feldman to tell his story. And you know what? If my best friend struggled with a lot of stuff and she wants me to eventually tell her story because she wasn't strong enough to tell her story and she's passed, guess who's going to tell her story? Me. Because that was my best friend and she gave me permission and I'm feeling the need in my spirit to tell her story and get it out there. So I don't like this whole victim shaming that they're trying to pull. And Marie Osborne, yes, it's your choice not to tell your story for 30 years. You know what I'm saying? And you literally, with your silence, you protected these offenders. Because for 30 years, through you being silent and not wanting to, you know, cause the family duress and all this bullshit, you've forgotten that 30 years that you are the victim. You don't owe a molester or their family any damn thing. They violated you. They sexually assaulted you. You don't owe them any favors. And the problem is when we have this mentality that we're going to keep quiet and then tell the story after the people have died. And one thing we all know, predators never stop being predators, okay? A leopard never changes its spots. So if this person molested you, trust and believe they were molesting other people for those 30 additional years. It did not start with you, most likely, and it damn sure didn't end with you. So your silence potentially caused other people, other women, other boys to be victims of child molestation. So I'm not going to sit here and applaud you or clap or give you props because you chose to be silent because you didn't want to offend the perpetrator's family. You didn't want to put them under duress. Who gives a shit? I'm more worried about the children. So I don't agree with that. Her being silent, I got to give you the side eye. And then the fact that because you chose to be silent, you expect others to? You expect others to not tell other people's stories? No, ma'am. It's not your job to dictate what Corey Feldman can talk and speak about. A lot of times when we're children and we go through abuse, we don't even know how to find our voice. We don't even know what to think. We don't know how to digest it. We don't know how to interpret it. It's so many mixed feelings. Part of you hate the molester. Another part of you loves the molester. Sometimes it feels good, but you know that it's wrong. People go through so much emotional battles that they cannot handle it and speak out when they're children. So a lot of times it does take 10, 20, 30 years for people to finally find the strength to say, you know what? What was done to me was wrong. So we should not be shaming him for this. We should be giving him props, okay? For trying to be a voice for himself and his childhood friend and for bringing light to a situation that a lot of times people don't want to acknowledge. Because one thing I will say is this. When it comes to young boys, and I'm a mother of two boys, so I definitely see things a lot different. When it comes to young boys and young men, we tend to act like their stories don't matter. We tend to dismiss them, their molestation, their abuse, the things that they go through, you know, the trauma that they face. We dismiss this. You literally have women who have shown up 30 years after the fact to say that Bill Cosby date raped them, drug them, and everything else. These same women wouldn't dare get on the talk and say, oh, this happened 30 years ago. You need to be quiet. You might be messing up Bill Cosby's life and, you know, stressing his wife out. They would never do that if this was a woman who decided to tell her story 30 years later. But because it's a man, all of a sudden, there's room to shame and speculate. This is how you know that most people in Hollywood are hypocrites, okay? You guys started this whole Me Too movement, and I'm really starting to think that Me Too is only about women. Because it seems like whenever a man comes out with his story, they're dismissed, they're shamed, they're ridiculed, and they're ignored. If we're going to be in the era of Me Too and Time's Up, That needs to apply to all genders and all sexual orientations. You can't pick and choose who can tell their story and when they can tell their story, depending on how you want to receive it. If this is the Me Too Time's Up era, everyone has the right to tell their story and speak their truth, regardless of gender, regardless of sexual orientation. So this is really sad, but honestly, it's not shocking and I'm not surprised because we've seen things like this play out time and time again when it comes to men telling their story versus women. So we have a quick word here from our sponsor. So you guys go ahead and check this out and I will be back with the rest of the podcast. Our sponsor for this episode is EveryPlate.com. EveryPlate is a flexible meal kit subscription service, and they offer up to 11 meals to select from on a weekly basis. They also provide you with easy-to-follow recipes and fresh ingredients at an everyday budget of $4.99 per meal. That's less than what you would spend at a fast food restaurant. Every plate also has specially designed boxes with insulated liners, ice packs, and cooling material to keep your food as cool as possible. Once you get your items, all you have to do is simply log on to their website, and they have step-by-step instructions on how to prep the meal. Each meal takes no longer than 35 minutes to prepare. I really enjoyed their services. You can also choose if you want to order a meal prep for 2 to 4 people. If you're interested, please make sure to check out EveryPlate.com. They have a wide range of meals to choose from every week. And when I tell you they send you fresh ingredients, they send them fresh, honey. I'm talking about whole potatoes, garlic, onions, carrots, zucchinis, you know, meats, all types of stuff are in the package. So whatever you see on that plate on their website is what will be in that box. And then you just go on, you follow the instructions, and you'll have a nice tasty meal, honey, within 35 minutes or less. So make sure you check out EveryPlate.com. All right, so I'm back. Once again, thank you to EveryPlate.com for sponsoring this episode of Unfiltered with Lovely Tea. You guys make sure to go ahead and check them out, especially with everything going on, people being scared to go into the stores and go grocery shopping because they don't want to catch scratch anything, this might be a perfect alternative if you don't want to leave the house. So make sure you guys check out everyplate.com. So anyways, I want to go ahead and get back into the Corey Feldman situation. So it's been a few days now, and people have been waiting to hear from Charlie Sheen. They want to know what Charlie Sheen has to say about these accusations that have been levied against him. And so this is what Charlie Sheen, his rep, they gave a statement to People Magazine. This is what they said. Charlie Sheen's publicist says this: "These are sick, twisted, outlandish allegations that never occurred, period. I would urge everyone to consider the source and read what his mother, Judy Haim, has to say." So that is what Charlie Sheen is basically saying. He's denying this flat out through his publicist. In the documentary, they were saying that basically on the set of Lucas, Charlie Sheen had a bucket of Crisco. He lathered it on Corey Haim and then he assaulted him. So it was really disturbing stuff that they were saying in the documentary. Charlie Sheen is, you know, like I said, he's denying it. And when he's saying that you guys need to go and ask his mother, Judy Haim. Now, if you guys don't know, again, this story's not new. Charlie Sheen's name has been in the mix for years. So back in 2017, the National Enquirer, they had published a report with an actor named Dominic Brazier. And basically, Dominic Brazier said this to the National Enquirer. He says, "Corey Haim told me that he had sex with Sheen when they filmed Lucas. He told me that they smoked pot and had sex. He said they had anal sex. Corey then said after it happened, Sheen became very cold and rejected him. When Corey wanted to fool around again, Sheen was not interested." So that is what Dominic Brazier had to say to the National Enquirer. For those of y'all who don't know, at the time, Charlie Sheen was supposedly dating Corey Haim's older sister. So, honey, this whole situation is a hot mess, okay? So now, Judy Haim, after that article came out in 2017, Corey Haim's mother, who is Judy Haim, she sat down with Dr. Oz, and she basically discussed the allegations against Charlie Sheen. So I want you guys to listen to this audio really quick.
So what do you think about these allegations that he was raped when he was age 13?
I know what's going on out there with what everybody is saying, and I know I can tell you as a mother that I haven't seen one change in character. I would have known if anything was wrong. My kid hid nothing. He was like transparent. He never hid anything. He was Corey. It's out of character. That's number one. When my son was 13, he's not going to go and ask Charlie Sheen to go and sleep with him. I have to tell you that this guy is the guy that abused my son.
All right, so you guys just heard that. And basically, they had to, you know, bleep out the name because they don't want to, you know, get a potential lawsuit. But the mother is saying that it's not Charlie Sheen who sexually assaulted her son. She's saying that it is Dominic Brazier, and that basically Dominic is trying to deflect from Charlie Sheen because he's the guilty party. Okay. Now, if you guys remember when I read earlier in the podcast, Corey Feldman also claims that Dominic Brazier sexually abused him as well. So he also stated that, you know, Dominic Brazier also sexually abused Corey Haim as well. So again, this entire situation is crazy. I don't know what's going to come of this. I don't know if anybody's going to be charged. You know, I don't know if he's going to file, you know, charges against Charlie Sheen. Corey Haim's mother, I believe the reason why she defends Charlie Sheen so hard and she tries to dismiss a lot of this stuff is the guilt that she feels. One of the things concerning the two Coreys, it's never been a secret that the nickname for them was Cigar Boys. They were basically passed around the industry. So that's never really been a secret. And I believe as a mother, you know, when your son has that much fame and that much money and everybody knows his name and, you know, you're able to benefit from that as the parent. You know, she's getting the money. She's the one, you know, signing the checks and doing all that for her minor son, that she kind of slipped up as a mother. She got so enamored with the glitz and glamour. And I'm not just blaming her because this happens to a lot of parents. They get so enamored and distracted by all of the shiny things in Hollywood, you know, being able to go anywhere, eat the best of the best, you know, having low-key fame because of their children, that they ignore the red flags. they ignore the predators. They ignore, you know, the crazy managers and the abuse and things like that. Sometimes they ignore it and sometimes they look the other way. And I believe that might be the case here, that she looked the other way and she feels guilty. So that's why she's trying to deflect and say, you know, couldn't have been that person. It's this person. You know, the whole situation is sad. But at the end of the day, you know, like I said, Corey Haimes is dead. He passed away tragically years ago. Corey Feldman is definitely going through it. He's going to need some type of safety because, you know, now that he's leaked out a lot of these names, he's definitely put his life in danger. But again, I hope something comes of this. You know, I hope eventually he gets some type of justice. I hope they do investigate this and find out, did Charlie Sheen abuse him, you know, at the tender age of 13? You know, is there some merit to what Corey Feldman and others have been saying over the past few years? I think it should be investigated, just like they had no problem investigating Bill Cosby and Harvey Weinstein and everything else. You know, I think a lot of these people who perpetuated, you know, horrible crimes against women and children and other men back in the 80s and 90s, there's a new era and people are not standing for it anymore. People are talking. People want the swamp that is Hollywood drained. And that swamp is steadily draining. And I don't think anybody should be beyond reproach. So again, I was not feeling what the women of the talk said. Their talking points to me was just basically very sexist, very dismissive, you know, very, you know, child abuse apologist-ish. Okay, I don't even know if that's a word, but that's how it came off to me. And I wasn't feeling that. I hope now that Corey Feldman has spoken his truth, I hope it's a weight that's been lifted off of his shoulders. I hope he feels like he's somewhat, you know, helped a friend, even in death. And I hope that he's able to find peace. Because that's one thing that people who are victims of molestation and rape and, you know, tragic things that happen to them, it's very hard for them to find peace. And I hope that he eventually finds that. So anyways, we have come to the end of the episode here. Thank you once again for joining me at Tea Time Unfiltered with your girl, Lovely T. I truly appreciate everybody's support. I'm glad you guys are loving these podcasts and there's going to be more to come. So let's go ahead and get the discussion popping. You know, we'll also upload a snippet onto YouTube so you guys can leave comments on there. But I want to know what you guys think of this. Did you guys get a chance to watch the documentary? Did you pay $20? Did you eventually get on and watch it? How do you feel about the names that Corey Feldman named off? And then how do you guys feel about Charlie Sheen's response, him denying everything? And last but not least, how do you guys feel about the ladies of the talk basically being very, very dismissive of Corey Haimes and Corey Feldman's plight? Let's go ahead and talk about it. Once again, thank you for joining me on today's episode. I will talk to you guys later. Enjoy your weekend.
Thank you for listening to today's show. Make sure you join us again soon. For all the latest tea, make sure you follow me on my social media pages. Just put in LOVELYTI on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube.